exact same talk like 3 months ago, or a similar talk about similar things.
We've all forgotten.
Okay, so it would be a nice competition. I hope you all forgot. And yeah, first let me say I'm very happy to be here, and it's really almost a humanitarian act to fly me out of the Arctic Ithaca at the moment, and it's really pretty here. So today I'd like to talk about two projects. One that is a Cornell Davis collaboration, and deals with the implementation of a gym mechanism and RS type models of electrolyte symmetry breaking. And oh, sorry, I should probably show this. And the second one is work in progress, also with Chaba and Cornell, Yuval Grossman at Cornell, and Gilad Perez and Sif Suryo. And the people in Davis are, of course, John Turning, and the two ex-postdocs, Guido and Giacomo, and Jameson Gallery. Okay, so first, let me introduce you to the flavor problem. You have all heard about it, of course. And one proposal to avoid it in RS-type models using a so-called RS-type gym mechanism. Then I will show you that it probably is not enough to avoid the severity of the flavor problem due to some overlooked contributions. And then I'll discuss a solution that we proposed, namely to have a real gym mechanism in five dimensions, and that I'll show you how to implement this. And that it leads to really to a 4D minimal flavor violating limit. And in the last part, I'll discuss a so-called shining of flavor, also in RS-type models, where you have a 5D warped minimal flavor violating model, so you have only two sporions, like in minimal flavor violations with two Yukawa couplings, but they are now implemented as dynamical fields in 5D, and this will lead to some interesting consequences. One is, of course, that we are now able to have a minimal flavor violating theory while at the same time explaining the mass hierarchy. So usually the problem of minimal flavor violation is that you have two very strongly hierarchical sporions, like the standard model, you cover couplings, so you have a large hierarchy in couplings there, and do not explain where this large hierarchy comes from. And this can be done in RS-type models using a so-called shining mechanism. So first, a cartoon picture of the quark flavor problem. So if we think of the standard model as an effective field theory, then we know that, and we have new physics at the scale lambda, and we know that the Higgs mass usually wants to be at the scale of the where the new physics comes in. And at the same time, when we integrate out this new physics, we introduce higher dimensional operators. And there we're caught between two fires, namely we want the Higgs mass to be as natural as possible, and this means the scale lambda to be around the TeV. But at the same time, we haven't seen any deviations from standard model predictions in processes which are like an FCNCs or lepton flavor violation. And so we want the scale at the same time to be very large to suppress this higher dimensional operator somehow. So if you, for example, look at KK bar mixing, then you want this contribution to this operator to be strongly suppressed, much more strongly than you would expect from a natural solution of the hierarchy problem. And I want to go into some more detail here, and I want to show you that the bound on the flavor scale, of course, depends also on the chirality of the matrix element. So in the standard model, we only have left-handed contributions to delta MK or KK bar mixing. So the standard model makes just a prediction for this kind of operator. But in generic new physics scenarios, there will also be a right-right and a left-right contribution. And the bounds for them are really different and much more severe. So what do you do to figure out those bounds? You look it up on the UTFIT web page. It's a collaboration which deals with fitting the CKM matrix and new physics effects using all available flavor data. And if you assume that you have an order one coefficient for such an operator, you can basically take from the experimental limits the bound on the scale suppressing this operator. So if you have no loop suppression, just a tree-level order one coupling, then you would find that the lower limit for a suppression scale here, for a CP conserving, so this is the first line, it would be something like 10 to the 3 TeV for the SD transition. So this comes basically for the, from delta MK. If you have a left-right contribution, so a different matrix element, then it can be something like 17 times 10 to the 3 TeV. So these amounts are rather severe for the 1-2 transition, so the first two generations. This is well known. And if you then further have some new phases, new p-violating phases in your theory, then those bounds get even worse. So they get worse by a factor of 10, and the most prominent one is the left-right contribution to epsilon k here, which is like 240 times 10 to the 3 TeV. So you better make sure that your theory has an explanation for this once you propose some extension of the standard model, which has new sources of flavor violation. And this operator, for example, killed the left-right symmetric models, because they have a left-handed W, a left-handed W boson, a right-handed W boson, with some new CP phase, and this made these models quite unnatural. So in the standard model, we have, of course, the Gym mechanism. So instead of a heavy gauge boson with some flavor-changing neutral current, we have a loop. But this loop suppression would, of course, not be enough. We also need the Gym mechanism, which, due to the unitarity of the CKM matrix, you need at least its proportional difference of the quark masses running around in the loop. And if you do it for the first two generations, a very good approximation for the suppression is given by this formula. This is a doubly Kabibo suppressed, loop suppressed, and Gym suppressed. And that's the explanation of the absence of any large contribution to epsilon k in the standard model. Now, what I want to talk mainly about today are these new proposals of electroweak symmetry breaking in RS-type models. Where I've also listed the dual theory. So the first one, the first realistic one, was just a Randall-Sundra model, two brains, and the Higgs on the TV brain. Then a very nice limit of this series, which is really due to a technical was the Higgsless proposal, where you don't have any Higgs degree of freedom anymore. You can conceive that as a limit of the first model in the when the left goes to infinity. And then there are models which try to explain why the Higgs def is naturally small compared to the Kaluza Klein scale or the resonance scale. These are these gauge Higgs unification models where the Higgs appears as the fifth component of the gauge field. And the symmetry breaking pattern in terms of where happens what on which brain is given by this slide. So in the bulk you have additional to the SE2 left U1, you have an SE2 right which protects the T parameter. On the TV brain you break everything such that the custodial symmetry is respected, and the remaining symmetry is just U1 electromagnetism, so if you combine the two breakings. Now, what is the RSG mechanism? So you might have seen that. So the Higgs mass, or the Higgs, or the electric symmetry breaking in general, is localized towards the TeV brain. And this means that the masses of the fermions are proportional to the product of their left and right-handed overlaps on this TeV brain, which means that heavy particles are localized towards the TeV brain and light fermions are localized towards the Planck brain. And at the same time, you see that heavy gauge bosons have a non-trivial profile only on the TeV brain, which means that if your two fermions were localized towards the TeV brain, then they have an exponentially flat profile here towards the TeV brain, where they could pick up some non-trivial behavior of the heavy gauge boson profile, which means that light fermions have only weakly non-universal couplings. And the heavy fermions really see this non-trivial profile of the heavy gauge bosons in the bulk. And these non-universalities in the couplings, if you go to the mass eigenbasis, then lead to flavor transitions in the tree-level gauge boson couplings. So tree-level FCCs in this model. And for further reference, let me define these F parameters, which are basically just the wave functions of the fermions on the IR brain. They were shown up a couple of times. So the same thing again in words. So we have the exponential localization of chiral zero modes. You can generate the fermion mass hierarchy. We only have to explain the log of the mass hierarchies and mixing angles by this, because we have a localization parameter which is just order one and explains everything. All the spectrum of quarks in the standard model. However, if we look very closely, we find that this gluon KK exchange, the gluon FC and Cs, generally lead to two large contributions to this left-right operator that I showed you at the beginning. So we need a suppression scale that's of the order of 10 to the 5 TeV. And if you want to achieve that with the gluon KK modes, then you need to make them heavier than 9 TeV, which makes the model rather unattractive, because you have, again, a large hierarchy between the scale of new physics and the scale of your Higgs masses. And so the question that we try to answer is, can we avoid these excessively large FCNCs by devising some kind of gym analog? And in the 4D picture, kind of models that are dual to the models that we are looking at, this has been tried. This is a Technicolor model, like semi-Technicolor model with a gym mechanism. And you see it's rather complicated to implement such a flavor symmetry here. And this is the SU2 left of the standard model. Now with these new methods of ADS-CFT at our disposal, we can try the same thing in the 5T theory. So what we want to do is we make everything flavor symmetric. So we put, we say that the bulk, so the 5D, the extra dimension, there's a large bulk flavor symmetry. So for all the three left-handed fields and the three upright and the three downright fields, there's a large U3 flavor symmetry. Like in the standard model, in the absence of the U-Kava, there would be also this kind of flavor symmetry. On the TeV brain, we need to introduce mass terms, which means that this flavor symmetry will be broken to the diagonal. And on the Planck brain, we are free to do what we want. So we will choose to keep only the left-handed flavor symmetry, and we will break the right-handed flavor symmetry on the Planck brain. So this means the bulk, the localization bulk masses, or the C parameters are degenerate, so the same for all three left-handed, three right-handed, three down-right-handed fields. This means, of course, that you have no explanation of the mass hierarchy anymore, because they are all localized the same way. All three generations are localized the same way. The mixings and mass hierarchy will then be explained by having a brain kinetic term on the Planck brain, and masses will be given by a degenerate mass term, which is sort of flavor generation independent. It's quite interesting that you can basically disentangle the generation of mass and the generation of mixings and hierarchies. And if you embed your standard model into this 5D vectorial spinners, then the left-handed guys are part of the SU2 left doublet, and the right-handed guys can be embedded into SU2 right doublets. And by choosing everything to be flavor symmetric, immediately find that everything is flavor independent. So the equation of motions are flavor independent. It's just a generation dependent normalization factor that we have to determine. And this is done then by the UV brain kinetic term. So this is the term on the UV brain, which will then lead to this boundary condition. And this boundary condition, or the value for the brain kinetic terms, is then determined by the quark mass eigenvalues. And now we, of course, want to know how many parameters are in the theory. Is it like do we have a coincidence problem? So have we more CP phases than we have observed on the stamp? So in experiments, we can explain everything by just one CP phase and three mixing angles. There's no need for more. And if we do a parameter counting for our Hermitian brain kinetic term, we find it's exactly the same as the CKM. So we have just three mixing angles and one CP phase, and it's quite really nice compared to the the usual split from your NAS flavor, where you have to deal with 10 CP phases, a lot of mixing angles which are undetermined, which then lead to a coincidence CP problem if you have a low MK Kaluza client scale, because all those Kaluza client contributions should show up somewhere in your experiment or determination with FCNCs. And the CP phases lead to a problem with electric dipole moments. And we do not have any tree-level FCNCs, of course, because it's a really a minimal flavor violating model, so there's no problem with epsilon k. There's, however, one subtlety. Since we want to explain the top mass, we need to have a very large IR brain Dirac mass term. And this is there for all three generations. And this term will introduce a large mixing between the standard model zero mode with the right quantum numbers with the Kaluza Klein mode with the wrong quantum numbers. So the part of the standard model zero mode will live in the wrong quantum number zero mode.
I guess I've lost track of what degenerate IR brain Dirac mass. What is that referring to? All of them have to have the same mass?
Yeah.
Could you re-explain why that's the case? It's somehow I lost track of that.
So
why does that have to be universal?
We want to have a large flavor symmetry in the bulk. So
yes.
And this means that if we were to introduce different Dirac mass terms, but flavor generation and Dirac mass terms, it will lead to FCNCs. We will have more than two sources of flavor violation, more than two spurions, which in general means that. So in the 5D picture, this would mean that the equations of motions are in flavor dependent, which means that the profiles are different for different generations. Which then means that the effective coupling to a heavy gauge boson is different for different generations. And if you then do a rotation, like in a set prime model with different with generation dependent charges, and you go to the mass eigenbasis, then you will pick up these unitary rotations.
Okay, I understand that part of the argument, but then how do you avoid having similar masses for all the quarks? I mean, I understood your profile, but this seems to be contradicting. You're saying that everything has to have a big profile on the IR brain?
Yeah, so at the moment, so if we just have the IR, Dirac mass term, and nothing else, then all the quarks have the same mass.
Right, that's
basically
right.
The top mass. And we will generate the mass hierarchy by having a brain kinetic term on the UV brain. There are some dynamics there which generates this term. And this kind of sucks out part of the field living in the bulk into the brain and reduces the effective overlap.
Okay.
So instead of your calicouplings using masses, it's this kinetic term.
And let me go back. So we have embedded our standard model zero modes into these two fields, and an IR brain master generically will connect those two with each other. And if this term is large, this means that there's a large mixing of the field that we want with the right quantum numbers here into this field that we actually project out. And this means that part of the mass eigenstate will live in this field with the wrong quantum numbers, which then will lead to non-standard set couplings or a large contribution to the S-parameter. And the way to avoid it is, of course, to have to not have this mixing term. And this can be achieved by embedding our fields in non-minimal SU2 right representations. Nobody tells us how we should embed the fields in the SU2 right representation. As long as we do it in a way that it conserves, it keeps the T parameter small. And there's a nice solution that has been proposed by Agashi Contino and Pomerol, where you, instead of having the left handed field in the SU2 left doublet and the right-handed zero modes in the AS2-right doublet. You put the right-handed top or up type quarks in a singlet and the right-handed down type quarks in a B doublet. And if you look at the possible mass terms on the IR plane, you will see that there's no term that mixes the left-handed down type quark into the wrong quantum number right-handed down type quark. So, and these are the constraints of this extended right-handed representation. So as I said, there are no flavor constraints anymore because it's really a minimal flavor violating model. And so it's very, the flavor constraint is really weakened. The strongest constraint actually now comes from, again, from electric position tests, so from non-standard set couplings here. And the upper bound is given by perturbativity. Since we want to have a large top mass, we need a large IR brain mass. And if we think of that as a Yukawa coupling, then we have to make sure that the theory still makes sense. It's not non-perturbative. But we've really achieved that we now have some parameter space that allows us to have Kaluza-Kleinitz excitations at around 2.5 TeV approximately. So we summarize this first part. So I've shown you again how you can really you can have a gym realization in RS-type models and avoid the strong constraints from flavor. Now, a shortcoming of our ideas, of course, that we have no explanation where flavor comes from. It's just shifted it towards CDV and tried to make sure that everything that has to do with electric symmetry breaking is still the same, but we didn't attempt to explain flavor in this model. And the question now is, can we go further and also explain the flavor hierarchy and the mixing hierarchy by using the tools that RS type models provide us with? And this is the idea of a project that is at the work in progress at the moment. And the basic idea is that we promote the Yukawa couplings that were just normal couplings on the R brain, in the standard RS type flavor models. We promote them to be physical fields. So they promote and they live also in the bulk. And furthermore, so this has been an idea that has been suggested by Fitzpatrick, Perez, and Rana. And the question is, so they just made this assumption and showed that in principle you could avoid the severe flavor bounds. And our idea was then, how can we really get the full model with the dynamics, and what about FCNC? So they just showed that they have one point where it probably works, but our motivation was to really look into the details of this model. So the basic idea is that you have a gauge flavor symmetry again in the bulk. There's some force, the shining, which then brings flavor into your life by knowing about this UV brain flavor breaking and transmitting it to the IR brain. And these are the only fields that are charged under the flavor symmetry that really feel the breaking on the UV. And everything else is flavor symmetric. So it's similar to before, but we also have a flavor gauge symmetry in the bulk. However, now we don't break it only by brain kinetic terms. We now are also allowing it to shine into the bulk via these scalar fields, which have a VEF that is basically the Yukawa coupling, the physical Yukawa coupling. And this is very similar to the minimal flavor violation effective field theory approach, if you know this, where you just construct out of standard model fields the most generic flavor symmetric Lagrangian, where the only flavor breaking is proportional to Yukawa spurion insertions. You treat them as if they were fields which transform under the flavor group like this. So yeah. And so what happens now is that since these fields also live in the bulk, they will also influence our bulk mass terms or our localization parameters. And at the same time, they will serve as the Yukawa couplings on the IR brain. And the assumption that we make is that this is the only flavor breaking that really survives at low energies or is transmitted through the bulk and to the IR brain. And we chose these fields to be similar to the Goldberg-Weiss scalar, to be close to marginal, but so relevant, but close to marginal.
So the parameters in the Lagrangian multiply your Lagrangian terms. We're talking about dimensional couplings now?
Yes.
Yes.
So any 5D coupling is dimensional. Yeah, so you have to make sure that everything remains perturbative. So our requirement is usually that if we cut the theory off at like 3 or 4 Kaluza Klein modes, or 3 or 4 times the Kaluza Klein scale, that it remains perturbative, or that the estimate for the loop-induced contributions is below the tree-level 1. So we can sensibly talk about effective field theory. So this is the boundary we try to absorb. So this is what I said in detail. So this is the bulk mass term here, and in our CHIM proposal, this was a degenerate term for all three generators because it had to be flavor symmetric. Now we also have this Yukawa fields, which are charged under flavor symmetries, which then can combine into representations which respect the flavor symmetry. And since these guys get a VEF on the UV brain, which is then transmitted via these fields here, we can have additional contributions which are give some non-degenerate bulk mass terms, which then lead to different localizations. And the interesting thing is that the localization depends on the same parameter as the Yukawa coupling on the brain. And even so, you started out with a theory that had just minimal flare variation, just 2 spurions. But you couldn't tell from the 4D theory, because the breaking effect that weakly coupling theory just would be proportional again to the Yukawa coupling is here exponentiated, because this Yukawa coupling then enters into the wave function localization, which is which comes into the exponent of this large TV Planck hierarchy. So the breaking, which is proportional to the Yukawas, is exponentiated. It's like having it in the anomalous dimension of a very strongly coupled theory. And this will give us both the RI brain terms and the explanation for the hierarchies. So the most generic first order deviation from degeneracy that is allowed by the flavor symmetries, very similar to the Sporck mass terms in minimal flavor violation, is given by, so this would be the CHIM limit we have discussed, and these are these first order corrections that we are now allowing us. And the effective mass terms on the R brain are now given as the wave function overlap, the one by F here again, and again a Yukawa insertion. Now, let's assume that these Yukawas are anarchic, so they have no hierarchy. We do not use them to explain the mass spectrum, so they all have eigenvalues of order 1. Then the standard model hierarchies and the masses and the mixings must come from these geometric factors or wave function overlaps. And since we want to reproduce the CKM matrix, this will mean that the guys that multiply the effective masses from the left will have to have a specific hierarchy. It's like in horizontal flavor models, which is proportional to the Kapiber-Enkel squared or Kapiber-Enkel to the third. And the masses will lead to another 6 conditions on the Fs in order to reproduce the mass spectrum. So although you had an anarchic order 1 Yukawa coupling, you could explain this large hierarchy masses. And this is one example point. So you have almost degenerate C's, so these are these terms. The deviation from 1 is very small, or from degeneracy is very small, and this leads via this exponentiation to this large hierarchy. As you can see here, so it's from 1 to 10 to minus 4 by changing a parameter. So this is of order 1. And this, now I want to explain the way S and C's are generated in RS type models in a bit more detail. Do you have any questions to that, or is that obvious?
So
maybe.
So you have no fundamental theory behind these choices. You just make them, right?
Yeah, I don't need to assume much about the UCAWAS. I just say that.
So you have to get these FQT over FQ3
yes.
ratios right, and with no particular motivation for the values you choose to get them right.
Yes,
right?
But I have to have an input from somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm not explaining. I have a magical way
okay.
to
yeah, all
explain.
Right. Just checking. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
However, I don't have to assume anything that is largely hierarchy. I can say this UCAWA coupling is of order one, then the flavor symmetries determine which contributions can enter in which bulk mass or localization parameter, and I just have to choose these coefficients in a way that's also order one, that then gives me the right C's to explain the mass and mixing hierarchy. But of course you're right, that's an input.
But now it's the bulk fields that are changing the wave functions on the IR brain.
Yes.
The kinetic terms are a tiny correction to that.
Yes. So if we assume them to be, at tree level to be vanishing and be at most a loop order effect, then I think we should be fine. But it's something, of course, we have to check. Okay. So this is the effective coupling of a fermion zero mode with a KK gluon in RS. And if you insert the wave function for the gluon, you find this approximate form for the interaction, which then has a universal piece and a piece which depends on the localization of the fermion field. And in the CFT picture, this is basically the FC gives you the order of magnitude of the admixture of the composite into your external source. And what's happening here is you have your external source, which mixes into the resonance or the composite degree of freedom, and then this has an order one interaction with the KK gluon. And the way to suppress this order one FC and C is that the admixture is so small, and the admixture is proportional to the mass. And so it's very similar to the standard model G mechanism, that the flavor violation is proportional to the mass squared of the particle. And so this C dependent or the localization dependent gauge coupling here will then lead to FC and C's. To explain that, since we are in a real 5D minimal flavor violating model, we can use our flavor symmetries to rotate away parameters in the UCAWA coupling. It's the same as in the standard model. You just have two spurions or two generic 3x3 fields which break your flavor symmetry, and you can use the U3 of the left-handed guys and the U3 is the upright and downright to rotate away most of the parameters in the UCAWA. So in general, so your UCAWA coupling would be something like this if you make a singular value decomposition. So there would be a diagonal term and two unitary matrices, and then you just vilify your right-handed fields by the same field that appears here. And you can get rid of most of the parameters. That's like in the standard model, where you can almost go to a mass eigenbasis for up and down fields. The only thing that is between you and simultaneously diagonalizing the up type and down type quarks is the CKM matrix. And this is the basis that we choose here for the 5D fields. And then we will diagonalize the bulk masses, so these localization terms. They are not diagonal at the moment because they, of course, depend on things like
why you beg of Baya. This is something like 5D, CKM, 5D. So we go to a basis where those guys are diagonal, and then we know the wave function profile, because we can just solve it from the equation of motion. And this will then lead to an effective mass term here, which is of the form of the original Yukawa, the rotation into the eigenbasis and the localization mass, the wave function overlap, and of course the quark field zero modes. And now this mass term is of course non-diagonal. We have to diagonalize the effective mass term again. We do this like in the standard model by two unitary rotations, and this will induce an FC and C coupling. This is the standard, the usual story in RS flavor models, except that we had some subtleties with this minimal flavor like Yukawa couplings. And so these are your Kaluza-Klein-Gluon fermion couplings, and as you can easily see, they are not diagonal anymore, so they induce FC and C's. So if you have two of those vertices, you can have a diagram like this, so one goes to two, the blue one, and okay. Now let's look at two limiting cases to understand the properties of our procedure a bit more detail. So if I were to take the up Yukawa coupling contribution to the localization parameter or the bulk mass to be zero, I could simultaneously diagonalize everything that has to do with down quark masses. Because I can just choose to work in the basis where the down Yukawa is diagonal, and in the down sector I will never encounter the up Yukawa, which means if this parameter R U is small, I have an explanation for the absence of a large contribution to FC and C's in the down sector. And the same thing is true for if I make this term here to vanish, or make RD equal to zero, then there will be no up quark FC and C's. Now, in the original proposal, it has been suggested that generically R up is much smaller than R down, just by the fact that you have to choose your C's in order to reproduce the standard model mass spectrum. So again, remember, we wanted to, this was our input from the standard model masses and mixings, and we want to choose our coefficients alpha, beta, and so on, and the Yukawas such that we will actually end up with eigenvalues of the C's that give us this spectrum. And what you find if you look at it is that the degenerate guys have to be much bigger than 1/2 or a bit bigger than 1/2, and generically this R up is not small. And the simple argument for that is, so you take the traceless parts of these CQ matrices, and if you take the traceless part, then the degenerate contribution of course drops out. And if you just look at the numbers, then you'll see that there's a striking similarity between the traces part of the CQ and the traces part of the CU localization parameters, which suggests, of course, that the contribution of this guy to CQ is much bigger than this guy, which means then that RU over RD is not small. Is this obvious? Or so, you know, the three-dimensional traceless matrices are basically a vector space of two matrices. You can choose two Gell-Mann matrices for that. And what you want to know now is, and the traceless part of the CU is basically given by YU, YU there. The traceless part of the CD is basically given by this guy. And this means that the traces part of that guy is very similar to the traces part of this, and the traces part of YD is very similar to the traces part of CD.
And then if you want to know which one of the two has to give a larger contribution to explain the Q at the end, it will be the one that is more similar to the, or is in the direction of the vector that you want to explain. It is two-dimensional vector space. So we find that something
is it consistent to take the traces part of CD to be zero? What's the error bars on those small numbers?
No, this is just a suggestion that it's not exactly zero because they are not exactly the same.
But how far off would you be if you took CD traces?
So it's actually not that bad. There's an idea that you just that's exactly what we were also thinking about, is that we ignore the contribution of YD here in the bulk completely, and we want to see if we need hierarchical Yukawas to explain the mass spectrum, since this contribution is so small. So we just have one Yukawa field that is dynamical in the bulk. And it works actually quite well. There's a little bit of tuning, so of the order of lambda or lambda squared at the end, but it's not that severe. So if you look at the Yukawa matrices that you need to explain the standard model hierarchy, it's something like 1/5, 1/3 or something. So it's not almost degenerate or of the same order, but the tuning is very small. And it's Chaba's favorite, but I'm not so convinced. So what we find is contrary to what has been stated in the literature, but it's not a problem at the moment. So a new feature, of course, are these flavor gauge bosons. So we have a testable theory of flavor, namely that these Yukawa fields are dynamical, so we can excite them and test them. And of course, what we have to make sure is that since these Yukawa fields are flavor breaking, we have to make sure that they are not leading to additional contributions for Fs and Cs, which will destroy our picture. So since there are bifundamentals under this flavor symmetry, they will generically lead to mass terms of the flavor gauge bosons. And this is a non-dual mass term here. And as you can see, it is proportional to Yukawa couplings and some order one parameter. And if you then look at the diagram for this flavor gauge boson contributions, and you make a mass insertion approximation for the non-diagonal mass terms, then you find a coupling that's very similar to the original FC and C coupling in RS, namely that everything is suppressed by the same FQ hierarchy. And again, if you rewrite it, so if you field the SU3 generators, you will find that it's again the FCNCs are proportional to the again proportional to the Dyckhoff mass terms, but we can choose this flavor gauge boson coupling to be a fifth of the normal coupling, and then they will be suppressed enough to not destroy our picture. So the phenomenology of the model is a work in progress, and we're looking into it at the moment. So far, it seems it survives all flavor bounds up to a KK scale, similar to our GIMS mechanism scale. And what we're also looking at is if there are any additional contributions which are non-trivial and not contained in the standard RS flavor setup. So let me conclude here. So the second part, I've shown you a 5D minimum flavor violating model. So it's just two spurions, two Yukawa couplings, with the same number of parameters as the standard model in the Yukawa. So it's just six masses, three angles, and one CP. Strong dynamics then leads to a hierarchy in the effective 4D masses. And the phenomenology is very different from a 4D minimum flavor violating model, to the exponentiation of our Yukawas and the localization parameters. And we have a testable flavor model, so we have one CP phase in all flavor violating contributions, and there could be some correlations, and we're looking into that right now. And there's no CP problem because we don't have an overabundance of CP fixes. And the experimental test, so the most severe one, epsilon k left right contribution, is okay with the parameter points that explain the standard model masses and mixing. So KK scale of 2 to 3 dB is actually allowed. So, yeah. Thank you very much for your.
I have a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, is there anything to prevent you from simply taking, you know, all the KK gluons to be very heavy and so forth and so on, so that there would be no experimental way of checking this theory? It would be some kind of thing that's operating in the background at a very high mass scale. Is there any problem with that?
No, of course. But then, of course, you have no explanation why making symmetry breaking scales. So, because you have a large hierarchy of scales in your model. So the question is to have a natural, a natural or small hierarchy.
Well, this this hasn't really. Okay, you're just saying, okay, if you're going to make the Higgs mass small and the scale at which this is all happening, and whatever cure comes in, it shouldn't be that high. Okay.
Yeah.
On the CP issue, in those Yukawa couplings that you wrote down, or semi-Yukawa couplings involving the flavor Higgs, did you assume those to be real?
No.
So you have no CP problem, even if those were imaginary?
Yeah, so
I was just assuming familiarity with the usual minimal flavor argument. But so the most generic Yukawa couplings can be written something like this, right? If I do a generic 3x3 complex matrix, I can do a singular value decomposition, but this is diagonal and real, and these are unitary matrix, and I can do the same thing for both up and down. And then I have my flavor symmetries at my disposal. So I can use everything else except the Yukawa is flavor symmetric. I do the standard one, and so I can do a flavor rotation on the right-handed fields, which gets rid of this contribution here. And the same for the downs. And I can choose one of the left-handed Yukawa couplings to be diagonal at the same time. And this is done by choosing it to be something like this. And then I know that the most general Yukawa coupling, or the physical parameters contained in my Yukawa couplings, are by taking one of the guys to be diagonal and real, and the other one, if I do a real parameter count, I'm going to find that this is exactly like the CKM matrix, the one CP phase with three mixing angles, and the real diagonal matrix. It's very similar to the standard model. Exactly the same, actually, because in the absence of these two Yukawa couplings, everything is flavor symmetric, and as in the standard model, we can rotate away most of the unphysical parameters contained in this Yukawa. And there will be one CP phase in there.
So probably this is something you don't know yet, but these flavor Higgs fields, or whatever you want to call them, their mass scale would be what, the same order as your cutoff, or?
There would be, so they're all given by the, basically the TV scale of the problem. So they will be, so in the cyclic picture, they will have something like minus plus boundary conditions. So this is the UV and this is IR. So they will be of the, will be again of the order of, so if I choose the geometry of my model to be 1 over TdV and this to be 1 over Planck for the, fifth coordinate, then they will be around, I think, 2 dB.
Mm-hmm.
It is fixed by the geometry.
I cannot decouple them and leave the rest. I could introduce maybe a large mass term somewhere.
So are you guys studying producing these at the LHC?
No, I don't know. We're just looking at how large we can make the branching ratio to not destroy anything of the flavor bounds. And it's
which branching ratio?
I don't know. Okay, we cannot choose the coupling because this is basically the effective 5D masses. At the effective 4D masses, the coupling of the flavor scalar. So, yeah, so we haven't looked into them. So that is something that is still to be done.
So, pursuit of that same question,
yeah.
I mean, is there what standard model particle would they couple most strongly to?
The third generation.
The third generation. And are these couplings large or small?
They're like the Higgs.
So there would be an order of one coupling,
yes,
associated with the top sector.
Yes.
But they wouldn't have significant couplings to normal W's and Z's, or is that wrong?
Again, I think that it's very similar. So that the couplings to the they're not coupling to the W's and C's because the W's and C's are not charged under the flavors and
right,
you
yeah,
cannot make
right,
a...
Right. So they'd
yeah,
only be coupling to these flavor...
Yeah.
Flavor
gauge bosons.
Bosons.
You know, the
do those couple to... What are those coupled to? Keep all
to anything that is charged under the flavor group, so the
yeah,
quarks.
And would those couplings be strong or weak?
No, we have to choose them to be smaller than the electroweak couplings by a factor of maybe five or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because... As you can see, they will also introduce FCNCs, and you,
yes,
you don't want to run into
yes,
a repetition of the problem we already have. So
yeah,
we want.
I figured that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
<That's> sure.
Okay. So there's probably some these Y particles. I don't know what you call them. Flavor
scales.
Scales.
Yeah.
Through the top triangle, a couple to gluons.
Yes.
And there won't be an interference. And so.
Yeah, this could be. It could interfere with the. with Higgs production and detection. Like the Goldberger-Weiss scalar, right? This can also change your. Expectations for the LSC cross sections if you allow a mixing.
But they can't. Oh, well, that was the question. Can they mix with the regular Higgs? Or they have the wrong
no,
quantum numbers? Yeah, so it's not.
But they contribute to similar processes. But you cannot have them at the top triangle because you need they're bifundamental under the flavor symmetry. So the first correction is actually two loop. If you try to write down a diagram, which allows us also
why?
To make.
Why aren't they coming off from the where I would normally have a Higgs? Now I have a Higgs and a Y.
Yeah, but maybe I'm missing something. But this is a 3x3, so you need left and the right-handed. I don't know, I've not thought about it. Really?
Okay.
Well, that's
about any other questions? Let's thank Andreas again.
Thank you. Thanks so much.